change.
And Father, we thank you for those wonderful words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. And so nice, all the people who prophesied, didn't realize it, but that's the teaching tonight is on faith.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, Melania's too is on Investor. What a good mind picture. That people know you're a Christian. You're out here in the world.
Yeah.
You know, these are construction workers because of what they wear. So tonight's teaching is on walking by the Ruach, which is walking in faith. And faith really means, is from the Hebrew word aman, which means certainty. And we can also look at going into the unknown, the unseen worlds. And that takes us to be walking forward. And I heard one prophecy, you're about ready to fall, I already know that. I'll be there either to stop you from falling or catching you and so forth and so on. You're looking at this. And so we're going to look at examples. And so with all of our lives, it's important to be intentional. And intentional, as psychologists used to say, that intentional means each day I have intent to walk with Christ and Yahweh. So I'm checking in, I'm thinking about it. It could be that Christ could come back, but if I'm alert that they're alive and well, then I'm going to be tuned in to receiving information that I need for that day. And so we're going to look at people, and when we hear many people say, I heard from the Lord or I heard from Yahweh, what we're going to talk about is a communication. So most of the time when somebody says that, it's not audio. Right? They're not words that you hear. But you can be, it's like one class I took, it says, you cannot not communicate. So if somebody, no word spoken, goes, that's a communication. And so if somebody else starts to go like this after you're talking, that's a communication. You know, when I show my wife that she's wrong, you know, it's a communication right off the bat. She didn't have to say a word. Right? So, we're going to get communication. We're going to see people who receive, great people who receive communication, but not in the way that you would think. So, we're going to start with Noah. And so, this book is there, and we're going to Genesis 3. And this book is here to show us example upon example, their testimony, to see how people walk in the unseen world. Chapter 6, verse 13. And so we're going to see Yahweh talking to people, and it would be great if I had a messenger who just was right here 24/7.
You do.
Well, I mean, he would, don't do that, turn left, don't right, don't do that, take this job, pay this bill, don't get that money. I mean, just step by step by step by step, and everybody would go, I would love that. Yes, but that's not a faith walk. That's not walking into the unknown. And so Yahweh even does that with prophets, great prophets, where they're not quite sure what's going on. If you just told me, you know, I would really know. And so here's Noah. So we're going to see that Yahweh talks to him. And so 6 verse 13. So Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is coming in before me. And so, okay, he's talking. Okay, that's an easy communication. Build an ark. Got it? 7:1. And Yahweh said to Noah. Okay, another verbal probably communication. Great, great. And we go to 8:6 through 12. And this is where there is no verbal communication. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. Why would you have to send forth a raven? You want to know if it's dry out. Lord, is it dry out? It's real simple. Well,
figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. And so that's what that's to be able to just walk. Go ahead. And he sent a raven out. And why do you send a raven out?
They could do it.
What? Or you?
They come back.
Well, no, they're carnivores. Mm-hmm. All right, so you got floating bodies and all sorts of other stuff, and they can go land on a body and eat.
Ew. Right?
Were they carnivores then, though?
Yeah. Well, maybe not at that particular time, but I think it probably was because that's why you have a raven and a dove. So there's two different things. A dove is a seed bearing, which we're going to see here. Mm-hmm. He sent forth a raven and kept going forth and returning until it dried up the waters from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him. So you're like, why would you have two different birds? And we know the point being that the dove finally came back with a branch of deal. Well, God, Yahweh, just tell me. Don't open the ark for 15 days. Okay. I don't have to send out birds.
Right.
And so, no information. Go what you regularly do. And then in verse 15, so then Elohim spake to Noah, saying, so he's right back to speaking again. Now we go to Samuel, you know, which is a great prophet. Samuel chapter 3. But ravens and crows eat carrion. Mm-hmm. You know, they eat squirrels and anything, roadkill, anything like that.
Crows don't do that.
Doves do not do that. So that's my hypothesis. 3:19. If I can find 3. Where are we? Okay. Oh, 3. I'm on the wrong page. And Samuel grew, Samuel, not Samuel. It's three syllables. Samuel, and L is Yahweh is mighty.
Now, where are you?
3:19. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19.
Yeah.
And Samuel grew, and Yahweh proved to be with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. This is a great connection. So all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, came to know that Samuel had become confirmed as a prophet unto Yahweh. So that's it. We're looking at, he's tapped in. And so we're looking at, you know, Melania, Elijah, Isaiah. There's a point of learning how to intentionally be quiet enough and instinctive enough to, when Yahweh's leading you, you know Yahweh's leading you. And then when he's not leading, you know he's not leading. And so sometimes you think he's leading you, and you go, and it wasn't him. Okay, note to self. Make sure they're not big decisions. You know? And now we go to chapter 10. Because these are prophets. Chapter 10, 3 through 7. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. This guy is so tuned in. He's talking to to Saul before he's king. And he says, here's what's going to happen to you. Now, listen how exact this is. Then shalt thou pass on quickly from thence onwards and come as far as the oak of Tabor, and there shall find thee there three men going up unto Elohim at Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three cakes of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. Then will they ask thee of thy welfare and give thee two cakes of bread which thou shalt receive at their hand. You're like, holy mackerel, there's a revelation.
Yeah.
Whew. That's just the beginning. After that shall there come into the hill of Elohim, where is the garrison of the Philistine, and they shall be as thou comest in thither into the city, thou shalt light upon a band of prophets, coming down from the high places, and before them a harp, a timbrel, and a flute, and a lyre, they having been moved to prophesy. Then will come suddenly upon thee the Ruach of Yahweh, and Ruach is the Hebrew word for what we call spirit. And thou shalt be moved to prophesy with him, and shall be changed into another man. And it shall be when these signs shall come unto thee, then act thou for thyself as thou shalt find occasion, for Yah and for Elohim is with thee. Wow. Now we go to 16. So we'll be at, let's give some testimonies. And so we'll be at a restaurant. So I was just looking at, and it's important to give testimonies. We hear that with Smith Wigglesworth and, you know, Oral Roberts, and they can really resonate of an application. So here's just an example of Aaron. We were at the church, and he usually gives $30 for to the church. And then he got the information: don't give $30. Go ahead and explain to him, or give $300, and then give $300 and make it out to the pastor, not to the church. And then on the notice said, buy the suits you've been looking at.
No, that your father told you to buy.
Yeah, the father. I mean, you're like, okay. And so he did that, and all of a sudden, you know, I've been at a place where all of a sudden we had roofers, you know, Mexican, probably illegal roofers who don't know English, and they're roofing our house, good workers. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting in a chair, and Yahweh tells me to give them $80 cash, which I haven't got. How about 40? I'm in my head. I'm not going to get $80. And so if it was my mind, it would say, that's fine. Okay. And you're like, no, 80. And I'm like, how about 60? And 60, and that's not a voice. There's a communication, 60. And all of a sudden, no, 80. Okay, 80. And then you go walking out there, and they're all sitting in the yard. And then all of a sudden you go, here. And I have a Christ t-shirt on. But here's this. And that's it. How did it work? I don't know. But I knew I was supposed to, because if it keeps insisting that do something, right. If it doesn't go away in a day, I mean, usually what the biggies say, if it doesn't go away in a day, if it goes away in a day, don't pay attention to it. But sometimes they're doing that. So next, last one, we were at Longhorn, and here's a waitress, and she had all these tattoos. She had one on her neck, and I said, well, what is that on there? And he said, faith. And she says, you know, I've been delivered. I was an alcoholic, and I've got words forgiven, and I've got faith. And she was probably about 55 or 57 years old, had children. She said that. And then Aaron asked him to pray for her. And she said, yeah, so he got to pray for her. But then there's an overcoming that I'm supposed to do something with the tip, you know. So you just got to be ready for it. And because it's like, okay, I was going to give her an extra $10 or $20. No, give her $100 for a tip, and the meal was probably $100. You're like, $100. Okay, so I tried to ask Mom, do you have any feeling? And she was too emotional. She couldn't get a confirmation. But then you're like, okay. And so you just put $100 on there, and the meal, I think, was $80. And so then you make, it's not a mistake. And guess what? That encounter will change that woman forever with all of us. You know, once you've had a supernatural encounter, you didn't ask for it, and you've got a need, and Yahweh says, I'm going to meet that need, and you're waiting, and all of a sudden, something like that happens, you're like, and we're gone, and we'll never probably see her again. But think of that. Those contact points are so important to fulfill, because that's Christ sitting here and touching people. And so he touched the pastor to confirm, to reaffirm that you're on the right track, that I am alive. And this pastor would always say, he says, when we were at the dinner, he says, you have been called here. You didn't come here to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Yahweh called you to this meeting. And I like that whole concept. Yeah, you think you were there because you're pleasing us or you want to get a free dinner. No, you weren't. You were called here for a purpose. Okay, but those are, you know, these are evidence of doing things.
And even if you're wrong, you're still...
Yeah,
you're still going to be rewarded for your effort.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, no matter what,
that's how you learn.
Yeah. I mean, even if I'm wrong, I'm still going to be rewarded for it because I'm trying.
And sometimes you get confirmation with somebody else. Hey, do you got anything on this? You know, and other times, you know, there's no confirmation at all. But was it communication? Yes, it was a communication, but nothing verbal whatsoever. It was just a feeling that you're supposed to do this. And I've had other people who had were down and out, but I never did that. You know, you give them a regular tip. And give them a verse, but it wasn't. I didn't look at the situation. You see somebody in a wheelchair, you think, well, they need healing. Well, it's the person right behind you in the grocery line who needs a word or something to that effect. It looks fine. So we got to make sure we don't do that. But here's Samuel, great encounters. Now, digress, but here's 16, verse 1. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long art thou going to pine for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and come, let me send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me among his sons a king. And what son is that?
The younger.
Yeah, no. No, nothing. Wow. This is make it really, you watch what we're going to see here.
You can save a lot of time here,
yeah,
boss.
Yeah. Just watch it. And then you're like, this is Yahweh with Samuel, the prophet of all prophets. But he's going to treat him just like us. I want you to walk out in faith. So let's follow this course. Verse 5. And he said, peacefully, peacefully to sacrifice unto Yahweh, he might come. Haul yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he hauled Jesse and his sons and bade them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they entered that he looked unto Eliab and said to him, surely before Yahweh. Said to himself, surely before Yahweh is his anointed, the Mashiach, because his size, probably like Saul. Okay. And now you get a response. But Yahweh said unto Samuel, do not, you're still here? Well, what son is it? There's seven boys here. So Yahweh said unto Samuel, do not regard his countenance or the height of his stature, for I rejected him, for he is not what man looked at, but what Elohim looked to. For man looketh to the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh to the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither is this one. And so Samuel having him pass, and what is he waiting for? Communication. Communication. You know, nothing. Nothing. You know, so we're going to see. He's going to do that for, let's go to the end. Then 11, then Samuel, wait a minute, let's go into 10. So Jesse made seven of his sons be passed before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, Yahweh have not chosen any of these. Why? Because when they passed forward, nothing resonated. There's no communication. And you got to scratch your head to say, wait a minute, you called me down here. I said to bring your sons. Here's his sons. They walked by. The one I thought I chose, you said no. Okay. And the rest of them walked by, and there is no confirmation of any kind. Now watch what happened. Then said Samuel unto Jesse, are these all the young men? And he said, there yet remaineth the youngest, but lo, he is tending the sheep. And guess that was... and then, let's just read that. Then said Samuel unto Jesse, do send and summons him, for we cannot sit around until he cometh in thither. So he went and brought him in. And now he was ruddy, a stripling, which means very young. You know, stripling is like a young tree. Yeah. Be a stripling. That's why he wasn't there. With handsome eyes and noble mien, then said Yahweh, rise, anoint him, for this is he. Boy, that's it. And so the confirmate, I mean, there's maybe a verbal right there. Okay. So he can do that with us also. So the point is to learn from these lessons. We go to Elijah, 2 Kings, the prophet Elijah, which obviously you're getting revelation all the time, 4:25. Remember, he told the Shunammite woman that you're going to have a son. She has a son. The child dies, and she's coming to Elijah for help. So that's the context. Verse 25. So she went her way and came unto the man of Elohim unto Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of Elohim saw her opposite that he said unto Gehazi, his young man, lo, this Shunammitess. Now run, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with... Well, you're supposed to know everything. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And so he's using his senses. So remember, and she said, well. But when she came into the man of Elohim on the mount, she caught hold of his feet and gazed. I drew nigh to thrust her away when the man of Elohim said, let her alone, for her life, her soul is embittered to her. Howbeit Yahweh has what?
Hidden it
from me and hath not told me. So here's a prophet. So he's going to do naturally what you're going to do. You know, I don't have any information, so I'm just going to go. And then he said, let's go into 29. And he said to Gehazi, gird thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet with any man, thou must not bless him. If any man bless thee, thou must not respond to him. Then shalt thou lay my staff upon the face of the boy. Did that work?
Nope.
No. Okay. He's just... Okay. But that was the best he knew at that particular time. And in 32, the boy is not awakened. And then when Elijah had come into the house, lo, the boy was dead, laid upon his bed. Okay, Yahweh did not tell him that the boy had died. But now he finds out the boy is dead. So he went in and shut the door upon them too and prayed unto Yahweh. Then gat he up and laid upon the child and put his mouth over his mouth and his own eyes upon his eyes and his own hands upon his hands and bowed himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then returned him a walk in the house once to it. I mean, so things are just not like instantaneous. And then went up and bowed himself upon him, and the boy sneezed as many as 7 times, and the boy opened his eyes. So you see it. Here is a great, you know, Elijah's substitute, not substitute.
Mentor.
Well, not mentor, but he took over. So he just, he's number one guy right now. But he had to go through these things. Peter, same as going to Acts chapter 10. So on our walk, we've got to reach out and be in a habit of reaching out and seeking his answer, and be, don't not be afraid to venture out.
Don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah, make mistakes, because you're going to make mistakes, as long as they're not big mistakes. You know, here's my life savings. I'm going to give it to this person. You got to really.
We did that
it
one.
Could be. Yeah, you got to be really careful and get confirmation. It comes down to that. Now, you know, smaller things. Yeah, well, the consequence is not. It's not big. You're going to see on that, and sometimes you're never going to see. So here is another one. Another example that's just recent. So we were at the same church. It's Bob Beckler.
Beckler.
I think it's Beckler. L-E-R.
Right.
And so we were there at 9 o'clock, and he's doing Psalms 1. Keep your finger here in Acts and go to Psalms 1. So we're trying to give this practical application of what can happen. I had given my Rotherham to Kaylee McKinney. I'm not sure if I was supposed to do that. I said, would you like this Bible? And she said, yes, okay. You know, so I'm just, they're $35, no big deal. And that was a contact, or whether she gave it to somebody else. You know, you never know on these things. And I, so a lot of times I don't know. But Psalms 1, this reads, verse 1, how happy the man. Mm-hmm. Well, he was teaching on Psalms, and he's talking about happiness and so forth. But the NIV that they use, the ESV they use, does not use happy. They use blessed is the man. So he's doing this whole teaching on happy as the man. Guess what? It's like you're reading out of the Rotherham.
Yeah.
He's reading out of the NIV or the ESG and doing the bless.
ESV.
And then I've got another Rotherham I brought after I gave one to Kaylee McKinney. And all of a sudden it was like a confirmation there to say, okay, this is his Bible that I have. And so I made a note and said, you know, look at Psalms 1. This is for Bob, you know, Pastor Bob. And we heard you at the speech last night, you know, and it was a great teaching. And so that's, you know, a confirmation. Everybody needs to be confirmed and be edified to say you did a good job. But I'm not going to give it to him. I'm going to wait till he leaves. And he sits in the first pew in front of the stage. And so he's talking with people, and Mom ended up leaving because she didn't want to wait. And then I just waited, and all of a sudden he just grabbed the Bible and put the note in there, because he's got another service in an hour. And he just goes set it where his Bible is. If I'm wrong, $35. If I'm right, bingo, because he's talking about reading Samuel. If you're going to, and he wants the word. To him, I want the word in me before I can read the word. And so you have this word, you know, this is what you want. What you're reading is not what you want. So if you want the word of Yahweh, you want this book. And so, will we ever see the results? Probably not. But what did I lose? $35. Okay, now Peter in Acts 10. So he just healed. He raised the dead person. In 10 verse 9. Since I'm going off, I'll try to do this, but now on the morrow, as those men were journeying, you know, this is Cornelius. A messenger came to Cornelius and said, call for Peter. And so these men are coming for Peter. And now in the morrow, as drawing near, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Very important to pray, to be quiet or do whatever you can do, whatever it takes. If I pray too long, my mind wanders and I have no idea what I'm even doing. So I'd rather walk. So I get information by walking. Or sitting in a soaking in a bathtub, listening to the word. I get information. So however you get information, utilize it, find out where you get the information, and then copy that. Make it part of your everyday cycle. So Peter's on the housetop to pray, and this about the sixth hour, but he made hungry and wished to eat. And while they were making ready, there came upon him a trance, and that's the word ecstasis. It's not a trance. Ecstasis is where we get ecstatic, which is, you know, happy that you could ever be. You know, supernatural happy. Ecstasis. And he beholdeth heaven opened. If you could have just told me, Yahweh, a messenger who went to Cornelius could have come up to me and said, hey, Peter, you're going to go to the house of Cornelius and they're not circumcised and you're going to pour out the Holy Spirit. We're going to pour out the Holy Spirit on them and then after a while you can baptize them. Okay, got it. That would have been real simple. Wow, okay. Now watch all this direction. And he beholding heaven open and coming down a kind of vessel like a large linen sheet cloth by its four corners being let down upon the earth, in which were all the quadrupeds. So it's like eating. It's like, octopus.
Centipedes.
Yeah, centipedes and all this stuff. Eat. I'll pass. Frogs.
Pigs.
Yeah, pigs. And creepy things of earth and birds of heaven. And there came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, slay and eat. So here's a voice. But Peter said, not by no means, Lord. Aha! I know this trick.
You're trying to trick me.
Yeah, you're trying to trick me. By no means, Lord, because at no time have I eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice came again a second time unto him, with things Yahweh has cleansed, be not thou making common. Wow, okay. What are you saying here?
What you just tell me?
Now, this took place thrice.
Three times, not just once.
I don't get it. You're just like, I'm supposed to eat crawdads and like girls and things like that. Snakes? I don't want to eat snakes and crawdads.
Lima beans?
Yeah. Now, this took place three times, and as we within him, Peter was doubting what the vision had seen. It was a vision that might mean, lo, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having sought out the house of Simon, stood at the gate and calling inquired whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was there being entertained. And as Peter was pondering over the vision, the Ruach said, lo, two men seeking thee. Okay, that's good confirmation. But go, arise, go down and be journeying with them, nothing doubting, because I have sent them. Okay, these are they're Hebrews, but also Gentiles. And Peter, going down to the men, said, lo, whom you are seeking, what is the cause for which you came? And they go ahead and tell him. And so, what you find out is, let me see here. And let's look at verse 44. While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were hearing the word, and the faithful of the circumcision who had come with Peter, so these are witnesses, were amazed, and that upon the nations also the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Okay, that's the beginning of the Christian church, where you have neither Jew or Gentile, Jew or nation,
yeah.
One body. But Peter had to wait for that. Paul, we'll go to Paul in Acts 16. You know, he got a vision. He got knocked off his horse. That gets your attention.
I don't think he was on a horse.
Yeah, I think so. I think the light comes down, bam, and all of a sudden, are you in trouble? And you're blind. And that doesn't get your attention.
Oh.
That gets your attention. The 16:6. Back in 9. And they're looking. He's going to share the gospel. And they pass through Phygina and Galatian country, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Why are you forbidden? Because you're on your way to Asia. And so he's going in a direction, and you have to choose the direction. It's like one person said, son-in-law, but a GPS, if you try to get direction, you've got to move to know where you are, which direction to go to. You're not moving. It doesn't know where to direct you. And so here they're going to Asia, and guess what happens? Don't go to Asia. Okay. But coming around Mysia, they were attempting to journey unto Bithynium, and the spirit of Yahushua suffered them not. Okay, not there either. So they're not waiting to be told where to go. They're going. But passing by Mysia, they came down unto Troas, and a vision by night unto Paul appeared. A man of Macedonia there was standing and beseeching him and saying, come unto, over into Macedonia and bring us succor. So it would have been easy just to say, hey, Paul, messenger, sit down next to him. Okay, next on the agenda, you're not going to Asia, you're not going to Mysia, you're going to Macedonia. Got it? Good. Okay. But it doesn't work that way. And so don't be discouraged when it doesn't work that way, because it's not going to work that way. Chapter 18, verse 9, Paul saying, he's still trying to figure out where to go. And the Lord said by night through means of a vision unto Paul, be not afraid, but be speaking, and do not hold thy peace, inasmuch I am with thee, and no one shall set upon thee to harm thee. He was just in prison and beaten on the last city.
Harmed?
Yeah, harmed. He'd been stoned, he's been shipwrecked, you know, everything else. And as much as I have much people in this city. Okay, so that was by a vision. And let me see here. We won't go into that. We got that. We got Paul. Oh, yeah, we got Paul. And
when he was on
let's go to Mark 13:11. We're running a little long, so I'm trying to speed things up. And this is Ruach. Holy Ruach is a gift that we received because of Christ's righteousness. Christ was led by the Ruach. You know, when he got immersed, it said the Spirit led him into the wilderness. It goes right. So if you're looking at the Spirit, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We got Ruach. You got Holy Ruach. It's like having a cell phone in here. You got to be in touch. So here's just an example of Mark 13, verse 11. You want to read that, Aaron?
And when they are leading you as they are delivering you up, be not beforehand anxious what ye shall speak, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, the same speak. For ye are not the speakers, but the Ruach HaKodesh.
But the Holy Spirit is what speaks. And so when you need it, it's going to be there. It's just like prophecy. We're going to see that. And so that's also in Matthew 10:20. But the Spirit, I'm just going to go through the Spirit is always power. It's an instrument that Yahweh has given. It's a gift, an instrument. And I'm just going to give the numbers. Note, with Moses, Numbers 11, 16 through 17, and then verse 29, where Yahweh took the Spirit off of Moses and put it on 70 people. Saul received the Holy Spirit, 1 Samuel 10, 6 and 10. The Spirit left Saul in 1 Samuel 11, verse 6, which why he cannot receive information from Yahweh. And then he ended up going to a necromancer, a Sinus. David received the Holy Spirit, 1 Samuel 16, 13. You've got in the Judges, all the different judges, you know, Judges 3:10. Judges 6:34, Gideon, Judges 9:23, Abimelech, Judges 11:29, and we're talking about the Spirit of Yahweh came upon them mightily. 11:29, Jephthah, Psalms, or Judges 14, verse 6 and 19, Samson, and also 15, verse 14. You see it with Simeon. When Christ was brought to the temple, the Spirit led him. And so, here's just one example. Okay, so the waitress, here's how it works. The waitress we gave a $100 tip to. We said, where do you want to eat? And somebody said, let's go to Outback. I said, no, I don't want to go to Outback. Let's go to Longhorn. So I'm not sure. And then we were watching a teaching, and Aaron said, let's just wait till after the teaching. And so we could have gone to Longhorn. You know, how do we meet the waitress at the right time?
Yeah.
We got to be at the right time where the table is done, and you're going to be seated right there. And so all these things are happening, and you have no idea they're even happening. So we wait another 5 or 10 minutes. Then we end up going to the Longhorn, and we get sit in her station. If we would have gone to Outback, that's not going to happen.
Right.
If we would have waited, you know, if we would have gone exactly when we decided, we could have been at somebody else's station. That wasn't going to happen. And so you start looking at all the incidents that starts happening. Why did I want to go to Longhorn? Because I want to go to Longhorn. Well, that could have been Christ in me saying, you want Longhorn? Yeah, Longhorn. I didn't even realize it's supernatural. And so many times the walking that we're doing is automatically supernatural. Where you are at that time, you're supernatural. You don't even realize you're being guided. We do this, you know, 16 hours a day as we just walk through life.
The drive to go to that place we went to on Christmas Eve was something that really was on my heart, and that's what that woman was dying in
the car.
Oh, yeah, Aaron.
Yeah, she was dying in the car, and we were coming out of the restaurant on Christmas Eve, and I'm asking us to call 911 because she was having a
cardiac arrest.
Yeah, some kind of real serious thing. So we just got to be intentional and not be saying, where do I go? What restaurant do I choose? Just, if you're walking in fellowship, just go. And if you're going to the wrong restaurant, you might get a hint. Let's go over here. Was that what Yahweh wants me to? No, it's what I want. Okay, proceed that way.
Yeah.
So let's go into Moses. And so one last encounter. Well, we don't even have to go there. You know, Moses is great communication with Yahweh.
Face to face.
And that's, yeah, Exodus 3:19-21. And then we go to Exodus. He says, guess what? You're going to get the people out. The Pharaoh's not going to let you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but I'm going to get them out eventually. Okay. And you go there and you say, let my people go. What happened? He said, go to hell. We just doubled your work.
Yeah.
What the heck? What the hell? Yahweh said to come here. And he's kind of forgot that he's not going to listen to you. And everybody else is mad at who? Pharaoh or Moses?
You're Moses.
Moses! For doing Yahweh's will. Yeah! We're working at night cutting straw down. And so you're looking at this, and Moses come back to Yahweh and say, what the heck's going on here? They hate me.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I would have been nice to know if that was part of the plan. You know, and I'm not caught up. You know, sometimes Yahweh sent me here. You get hit with a rock. Well, that wasn't nice. So, it happens to the best. And so just, I guess, engage. And at the end, we'll get to see how fruitful we actually were. Sometimes people will tell you the impact. And so Aaron, by prophesying to any individual, it can be absolutely changed in their life. You know, so let me give one other example. You know, once you give about, Pharaoh has friends in New York who are trying to get pregnant. So I asked Aaron to give them a prophecy. And he says, the prophecy was really weird because it was talking about sperm and egg coming together. And you're like, that's kind of strange. But he gave the word, and they didn't realize. And he said, also, name the child. Yahweh's telling him. So you're like, boy, that doesn't sound very reproductive. Yeah, you're like, that's getting very anatomical, or anatomy. But you realize that this person had a real problem with their eggs, and they're going to take one more egg, to harvest one more egg, and it had to be artificially fertilized. And he didn't know that. And so they got one egg artificially fertilized and put it on her, into her
uterus.
And Aaron said, did they name him? Yes, they named him Joshua, because he was going to be a male. So not only you're talking about egg and
sperm.
A sperm, And now you're talking about a boy instead of a girl, and we'll see how that works. You know, so the point is when it comes, speak it. Yeah, you have to go. Okay.
A little aside, just a little aside.
Wait, can we wait? Wait, after the teaching.
When Peter received the vision, it was done three times.
Yeah.
Three established, means it's established, right? So Yahweh had to do it three times for him to get it established in his heart. Yeah. I just thought.
And why that was so important is Abraham said, you have to be circumcised. An age of body covenant. You have to be circumcised. And now Yahweh is saying, nope.
Not anymore.
No longer. You don't have to be circumcised. Well, that's everything against your whole book. Because you said, if you're not circumcised, you're cut off.
Yeah.
You're not part of the tribe of Israel. So you can imagine, this is huge. It's like saying to us, okay, I want you to go, you know, not sodomy, but I'm starting to think of something that is so far the same from our mind to be able to say, no.
Yeah.
And yes, because something has changed. And so he did that. So that's why I think the three thing is, you know, this is the Jews are not going to like this. Okay. And now we're going to reward, and we'll get to exercise spirit. So, Father, we thank you for Ruach HaKodesh, which is spirit holy, and for these words for these people. Each day as you kneel down before me and expect your reverence to come to me, that you're my sons and daughters in whom I am empowered with great spiritual ability, you have no idea how much ability that you actually have. So exercise that ability, but you must walk forth expectantly knowing that I'm abiding within you as my son is abiding in you. You know my word, do my word, and as you're doing my word, we'll guide your footsteps day by day. Amen. See you next week.